So the title of my message this evening is Jesus is the answer. Previous to this passage that we just had read out to us, Paul has been teaching and reasoning with the Jews and in Thessalonica, and he's been there with Timothy and Silas. And the Jewish people in Thessalonica did not like what was being said, and Paul, Silas and Timothy, they have to be smuggled out of Thessalonica. So then they come on to a place called Berea, and they find the Jews there a lot more accommodating, and they're open to the teaching of Jesus being the Christ. But the Jews in Thessalonica hear that they're in Berea, and they head there to cause a scene again. So Paul gets on the boat, and that takes him to Athens, and then sends word for Silas and Timothy to come and join him. And this is where we now pick up the story with Paul. He's in Athens and he's waiting, and we read in verse 16, if you're reading the ESV version, it says that his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was full of idols. I think the NIV and the King James, New King James, say his spirit was distressed. But provoked is the main thrust of a message this evening in verse 16 here, and that his poor spirit was provoked within him, and so provoked that the very next verse we read that he's already establishing himself in the area, teaching and reasoning with the people about Jesus. And I have 3 points just to share this evening, just to draw out of the passage of scripture, all linked to Paul being provoked. First of all, Paul was provoked to action. Secondly, he was provoked to boldness. And thirdly, he was provoked to Christ. Action, he saw what was going on and he knew that he had to do something about it. Boldness, Paul wasn't afraid to make a stand. Went straight away to reason with the Jews, devout people, and those of the marketplace and the philosophers. And he was provoked to Christ. Paul had the answer and he was ready to give that answer to anybody that was able to listen. Jesus is the Christ. So 3 points, ABC. Always be closing if you're a salesman like me. Provoked, boldness and Christ. So first of all, Paul was provoked to action. I wonder, you don't have to answer me, but when was the last time that you were provoked? Maybe someone intimidated you. Maybe someone did something in the car that really wound you up. I definitely did that driving up this afternoon to other drivers. Maybe someone said something with you that you strongly disagreed with. Being provoked is probably something that we endure on maybe a daily or a weekly basis. And there's, when we're provoked, there's two actions, isn't there? We can either do something or we can do nothing. And I would suggest that the most common response is that we do nothing, because that's the safest option, isn't it? If we do nothing, then nothing can happen to us. There's no risk. But the book of Acts is full of people taking action. It's charged with people who want to make a difference for Jesus. Just three main characters you have. You've got Peter, and you have Paul, and then you've got Stephen, who was stoned for taking action for Jesus, for being bold for Jesus and speaking the good news of Christ to the people. It was certainly a time that required action, because if the apostles and the disciples and the Christians had stayed quiet, then the gospel wouldn't have advanced. These early Christians, they faced death for talking about Christ, but they knew that they had no other option but to spread the good news about Jesus. Jesus had told them previously, hadn't he, that to wait for the Holy Spirit, which they did. And then in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit arrives and they leapt into action, literally straight away from that very moment. They started to spread the good news. They leapt into action. And when I was a young person, maybe about 16 or 17, a Christian group that I used to go to in Sudbury, we went on a trip to London. And we went to Hillsong Church in the morning, and then we went to Hyde Park in the afternoon. And there's a section, there's a section in Hyde Park called Speaker's Corner. And basically you can go there and you can stand up and you can just say what you want, really. And people will just walk in by and people will stop and listen. And I remember there was two men there and they were preaching the gospel. And as they were preaching the gospel, there were other people stood around shouting and trying to distract people from the message. And we as young people, you know, we were followers of Jesus. We were provoked into action. And we went and we engaged with these people and we started to talk about Jesus with these people. And, you know, I don't know if we made any difference at all to those men, but for the meantime, we stopped them for about an hour from disrupting people from the message that these two men were giving. We were Christians who were provoked into action. We saw that was going on and we knew what we needed to do. And Paul was provoked. He looked around Athens and he saw idol after idol, false gods being worshipped. And Paul knew that he had to do something about it. He was provoked and he decided to take action. And so Paul did just that. And we read in verse 17 that he did just that. He went straight away and he started to reason and to teach the people every day. He didn't take a day off. He reasoned with anyone who would listen to him. And the people were so intrigued by what Paul was saying, they took him to the Areopagus. And that's a place, a hilltop where philosophers would debate, and it was where the trials for the city were carried out. So the message that Paul is bringing by taking action is starting to get somewhere. And you know, you could probably forgive Paul for wanting just to take a bit of time off. You know, he's just been chased out of Thessalonica, chased out of Berea. He's now in Athens on his own, waiting for Timothy and Silas. And, you know, you could forgive him for maybe just wanting just to have a little rest, you know, have a little break. But for Paul, that wasn't the action. That wasn't his response. He knew that the gospel message was so important that he needed to give it the priority in his life. You know, there's maybe a lesson there for us all to learn, that we have this message. We have this truth of a transformed lives because of Jesus. And the challenge is, are there times where maybe that we maybe sometimes shy away from sharing it, when actually we should be taking action? Paul, a man who once hated Christians, persecuted Christians, killed Christians, was a man whose life had been transformed by Jesus. Paul certainly knew the good news that God is the one that can change your life. So the first thing we find is that Paul took action. The second thing we see is boldness. Paul took action, and that required him being bold. Paul had just been smuggled out of Thessalonica, had to leave Berea, and he comes to Athens, but Paul was not afraid to boldly go and start telling people about Jesus, and he certainly wasn't somebody who was worried about making a scene. You know, he wasn't scared of that. And you can almost imagine Silas and Timothy as they're making all their way to Athens in the boat, just saying to each other, I wonder what trouble he's getting into now. Because that was the sort of person that Paul was. He wasn't afraid to be bold. He wasn't afraid to speak up for Jesus, regardless of what may happen to him. And after all, that is what was needed. If he had done nothing, and if he'd stayed quiet and just casually wandered around Athens, taking in the sights, having a little break, then the gospel wouldn't have been furthered and people wouldn't have realised who Jesus was and what he has done for them. Paul was literally a man on a mission. We see the boldness, this boldness from Peter on the day of Pentecost, don't we? Seizing the opportunity to tell people about Jesus on the day of Pentecost, to tell them the good news of the gospel, he took action and was bold. Jesus had given previously the Great Commission to the disciples to go to all nations, and there was no stopping them. They preached, they taught, they spoke with boldness, a boldness that God gave them. And one of the key things of the Great Commission is that Jesus told them that he was with them always. And so Peter, Paul, the other apostles, they knew that they had nothing to fear because God was with them, that Jesus was with them always. In their actions and in their boldness, Jesus was with them. And the same is true for us today, in that when we make a stand for Jesus, we can be bold because we're standing on the truth. We're standing on the word of God, and we can know that God is with us. Knowing that helps us to be bold as we speak out for Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, we see another instance of boldness. We have Peter and John before the council. In Acts 4:13, the people on the council saw the boldness of Peter and John. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." Peter and John, two common, uneducated men, astonished these men in the council with their boldness. That's the power of God at work in their lives. The same God works within us, and we can stand for Jesus and be bold, and we can know the power of God working within us, giving us that same boldness. And when you read on in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are released and they go back to the other believers, and we read that they pray for boldness. We read that in verses 23 to 31 of Acts chapter 4, that the believers pray for boldness. And as they finished praying for boldness, the place that they were in shook and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak with boldness. What a prayer meeting that must have been. You know, I've never been in a prayer meeting where the room shook. But 2 weeks ago in our church, when we had the storms during the service, that the building was getting battered with the wind, and you know, and it gives you sort of a little glimpse as to what that must have been like for the apostles. Another question to ask us this evening, and again, I don't need an answer from you, was when was the last time that you prayed for boldness? Because it was certainly something that was important in the apostles' and the disciples' lives. Peter and John, they were going up against authorities, preaching a new message that could have gotten them killed, but they had God on their side. And because of that, they went out and they spoke the message of Jesus boldly. You know, we're fortunate in the UK in that we won't get arrested yet or killed from sharing the gospel message, for making a stand for Jesus. But the world that we live in needs Jesus. It's clear to see, it needs Jesus so desperately. And as God's people, that we need to be like the disciples, speaking boldly for Jesus, making stands for him, and knowing that when we do, that we have a God who is on our side. And Paul, in his address to the Athenians, begins to tell them about his God. In verses 24 to 25, he says, "The one who made the world and everything in it, and the one who made mankind." Paul addresses that his God is far superior to their false gods. And when you think about it, that's something that took real boldness, because there would have no doubt been those who were dedicated to those idols that were around them, that made them gods in their lives, that lived their lives for these idols. And here is Paul standing up and declaring to them, "My God is far superior to any of yours." The ESV Study Bible tells us that Athens was filled with examples of artistic beauty, particularly in its statues of the Greek gods and the architectural magnificence of its temples. So this was a city that was absolutely engrossed in their idols. But Paul's not afraid to come and tell the people that these idols, these so-called gods that you have images of and temples for, they're nothing compared to the God that I serve. The likelihood is they had no idea about this God that Paul served. And here's Paul telling them boldly that his God is the only God that's worth knowing. You know, today people are seeking to fill the voids in their lives, turning to all sorts of things. People devote their lives to temporary fixes, but we need to be bold and tell them that that's not the way. Be bold and tell them that we know someone who can fill that void in their life, not just temporarily, but forever. Let's be a people who are bold. And then finally, Paul was provoked to Christ. Paul certainly wasn't afraid to talk about Jesus. He walks into Athens and he sees this sign dedicated to the unknown God. And Paul is quick to tell the people who the unknown God is. He begins to explain about the true and living God. Explains about Jesus and his death and resurrection to the people. This unknown God is still a thing in the world today, in that people are serving an unknown God. this void that they have in their lives. They're looking to fill with drugs, alcohol, sex, money, careers. People are looking for anything they can to try and fill the hole in their lives. The thing is, these things, they're all temporary fixes. Yes, they may satisfy for a while, but soon they'll crave more. There's only one person who can fill that void in our lives, and we know his name, Jesus. Jesus is indeed the answer. And Paul proclaimed that truth to the people unashamedly. He stood there and he told them about Jesus. Some switched off when he started to talk about the resurrection for the dead. And you know, we probably would have as well. But this was no ordinary man. This was Jesus, the Son of the living God. Do you notice what happens with Paul in the passage, and that he starts out small. He's just in the marketplace. He's just reasoning and teaching with the people there. And then as he continues, he starts to discuss with the philosophers, and then he ends up invited to speak to the Areopagus, speak in the Areopagus, the highest court in the land of Athens. When we're provoked to talk about Jesus, don't stop, because it may seem like a small impact, but it can lead to such bigger things. That's what happened with Paul. He was talking about Jesus in the marketplace, and it led him to the highest court in Athens. And for us, it might just be mentioning that we're a Christian to friends, families, work, colleagues, but we don't know where that can lead to, what other conversations that could bring. Don't be afraid to step out in faith and talk about Jesus, because he might just be what somebody needs. How was Paul able to communicate the message of Jesus so well and so effectively? How was he able to show people previously in Thessalonica, in Berea, and now Athens that Jesus was the answer? He knew the scriptures. If Paul didn't know the scriptures, then he wouldn't have been half as effective as he was, because he was going up against people who were experts in the scriptures. And so he needed to know what he was talking about to be able to point to Jesus being the answer that they needed in their lives. The Jewish people, the high priests, they knew their scriptures so well. They knew their history. And Paul needed to be able to point them to Jesus being the one that they had been waiting for. And actually, when you read Acts, you see that when the apostles went to places, the first place they went to often was the temples. The first people they tried to reason with were the Jewish people, the high priests, because these were the people who knew the scriptures and should have been able to see who Jesus was, that he was the one that they had been waiting for. Same's true for us today, in that we need to know God's word. So important for us. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 17 and says that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We need to know God's word. It gives us the answers to the questions that people will ask us. It helps us to be able to point people to Jesus being the answer that they need in their lives. We need to be equipped with God's word, using it as the powerful weapon it is, because we can stand upon God's word, because it's the truth. We can be effective in action. We can be effective in boldness and pointing people to Jesus if we know God's word. So what does this all mean for us today? Well, you know, as I said, we live in a world where people are trying to fill a void in their lives. Well, they have an unknown God in their lives, something they're desperately trying to fill whatever that they can. And we see that just watching TV, walking down the high street. I often wonder, you know, how would Paul react if he was here today, if he walked down our high streets, if he interacted with people? I can tell you, he would be provoked to action and boldness and speaking up for Jesus. You know, Paul, he went from feeling provoked to being the one who did the provoking. He was uncomfortable with the idols that he saw, and it caused him to provoke the people with the gospel truth. The message of Jesus was the answer, and he's still the same answer for us today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus was changing lives then, and he's still changing lives today. It doesn't matter what we've done in our lives, whatever we might be searching for, Jesus is the answer. He is the solution that the world needs. I don't know everybody here this morning, but if you don't know Jesus today, if you don't have a relationship with God, let me encourage you, stop trying to fill your life with temporary fixes and come before Jesus, the one who can change everything. It's what the people in Athens needed. Paul loved God, wanted to see people turn away from the pointless idols in their lives and instead turn to Jesus. He was provoked into action, provoked to be bold, and provoked to tell the gospel truth that Jesus is the answer. And those of us that know Jesus this evening, our lives have been changed. We carry this message with us. Let me encourage you as you go into this week, as you go into meet people you know who don't know Jesus, take action, be bold, and speak Jesus. Amen.